Ernest Shackleton was one of Britain's great adventure heroes. In the late summer of 1914, he undertook a new challenge, a trip with 27 men to the South Atlantic. They would trek across Antarctica, the first crossing of that continent. Britain had already lost the race to be first at the South Pole. Shackleton's ship, called the Endurance, almost made it to Antarctica, but became trapped in the ice, eventually crushed. The crew drifted on the ice pack for more than a year, and then they escaped in lifeboats north to Elephant Island. A smaller team, led by Shackleton, sailed for South Georgia Island. It would be their only chance. They made it, but then had to cross the icy mountains of South Georgia to a whaling station. Shackleton went back for those who had been left behind, and the expedition was over. He didn't lose a single man. Caroline Alexander has put together a new account of the Endurance story, including photographs from the adventure. Before leaving Britain, Shackleton had sold the newspaper rights, the photo rights, even the movie rights to his Imperial Transantarctic Expedition. It was Britain's heroic age. Interest was high. Shackleton had no trouble raising a competent crew for the voyage.
5,000 applicants were made, and Shackleton interviewed a number of them. The most memorable, perhaps, was when he interviewed one of the young scientists, a man called James, and he was asked not about his physics background from Cambridge, but whether he could sing. And the poor young graduate was sort of stunned by this question. Shackleton said, "I don't mean any Caruso stuff, but can you shout a bit with the boys?" And the scientist said, yes, he could. And so he was taken along. But it becomes clear that what he was looking for were people, were men he could count on.
They get to within one day's sail of Antarctica, of the landmass, right?
Yes.
They get that close. And then they spend how many days on the ice or on water before they finally get to South Georgia Island?
They spend a total of, it's about 497, nearly 500 days before they set foot on land again.
Goodness.
They were trapped in their ship was trapped for 10 months in the ice, and then they were castaways on the ice for 5 months after that.
Tell us, please, a bit about Elephant Island. This is the first landfall they make, the first time they haven't been on water or on ice. Why can't they stay there? Why isn't Elephant Island going to be a good place for a while?
It's, first of all, a very hostile place. It's a sub-Antarctic island with a distressingly unpleasant climate, very cold but also wet cold. And they, of course, are very low on food supplies, and they would be stuck on this island and dependent upon the whim of nature, whatever might wash their way in terms of penguins or seals, which they would have to live off. They have no shelter. There's no communication system. And most importantly, there is no chance that any ship is going to come to Elephant Island. And it was that realization that made him determined to attempt this extraordinary boat journey, which was so risky that it could almost be termed suicidal.
The men were soaked to the bone and frostbitten. They were badly chafed by wet clothes that had not been removed for 7 months and afflicted with salt water boils. Their wet feet and legs were a sickly white color and swollen. Their hands were black with grime, blubber burns from the Primus stove, and frostbite. The least movement was excruciating.
Yes. That passage, which was written by the skipper, Frank Worsley, he describes he says, if you could just sit still for a second where no part of your clothing was touching your body, then you could almost purr. Life was worth living. But the excruciating cold of every movement that you made, and of course they were in a boat that was being jostled and kicked around by the savage Southern Ocean conditions that they were trying to navigate, it must have been absolute sheer hell.
Isn't there sort of a satisfaction in this? I don't mean to belittle what happened, but isn't there a moment where you say to yourself, if you're in that boat, we're really suffering here. If we live, this is going to be an incredible story. I mean, it's part of the deal.
I think it's impossible to penetrate Shackleton's mind. It's easier to penetrate some of the men with him. It certainly crossed the mind of one of the men who kept a diary, Thomas Ordelies, who was the storekeeper, and a sort of kept the chattiest diary. And he says at a certain point, although it's a point where they are safely settled on Elephant Island, it's not while they are navigating high seas, he said, you know, privation makes a book sell like anything. I mean, he says it flat out in the diaries. And I think that all of this would have been part of what kept the fantasy alive that they could ever return home, which, again, one cannot underscore enough how really impossible and illogical that belief was.
Shackleton comes with his men, some of his men, to South Georgia Island and sees other people for the first time. And how long when he gets to the whaling station there?
It's been some 20-something months. The whalers could not believe what had happened. They could not believe any stage of what had happened. They couldn't believe that men had made an overland mark on an island that they regarded as untraversable in the first place. But these were old salts who had sailed this part of the ocean for many, many, many years and knew it as intimately as any men alive. And they were almost stupefied at the idea that you could bring a small boat across the Southern Ocean. And there's a very, very moving description in the captain's memoir where he describes how a day or two after landing on South Georgia, all the old whalers had a kind of congregation for them, and that they came into a smoke-filled room with all these old sea captains present, and the leader spoke in Norwegian, which was translated, and he said, never in my, he knew these oceans intimately, and never had he heard of such a feat as this, as bringing a 22-foot-long open boat skirting the Drake Passage in winter. And then he concluded it, he turned around, he said, these are men.
This is what year?
It's May 1916.
Shackleton staggers in there, and he says, tell me, when was the war over? Because the war had broken out just when he left.
Just when he left England. The Great War breaks out. And the war had been a topic of conversation for the men all the time that they were stranded on the ice. And indeed, it's quite heartbreaking because their greatest concern was they knew the war would be over when they returned and they would have missed it. So Shackleton's words, after he introduces himself, he says, tell me, when was the war over? And the station manager at the whaling station says, the war is not over. Europe is mad. The world is mad. Millions have been killed.
And Shackleton soon realizes that he is not going to be a returning hero, because there are heroes of war.
There are now heroes of war. His survival story makes the headlines. The story was great news. It was great to read about, but now it's back to the bloody business of war. And people began to sort of ask questions, you know, well, it's all very well, you were down in Antarctica playing on icebergs, as one newspaper of the time says, fooling around on icebergs, you know, while our young men were out fighting the Hun. So this was the kind of mentality that he returned to. And he made, he was then 41, he did not have to enlist, but he made real determined effort to get some kind of position, because I think in his bones he knew that if he did not play a part in the war, no matter how small, it would be all over for him in terms of doing anything else once the war ended.
Thank you for coming to talk with us.
Thank you.
Caroline Alexander. Her book is titled The Endurance, Shackleton's Legendary Antarctic Expedition.